everyone, this is Chris Grosso with the Indie Spirituals Podcast on the Be Here Now Network. My very special guest today is my friend Matt Belair. Matt, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
What's up, brother? So good to see you again, man. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So let me tell the people a little bit about you before we jump into this conversation. Living a life dedicated to acquiring the skills and knowledge to help others on their paths to greatness has brought Matt Belair to a level of expertise attained by few. With experience in fields ranging from mental fortitude, Zen, the pursuit of inner peace and positive living, martial arts, marketing, snowboarding, and travel to neuro-linguistic programming, meditation, sports psychology, life coaching, and conscious living, he's equipped to support you in whatever you aspire to achieve. A one-of-a-kind author, speaker, and conscious thought leader, and podcast host, Matt believes in potential. His own, yours, everyone's. Seeing the possibilities in someone's life is his greatest gift. He knows we can all be great, and so there's nothing that despairs him more than to see someone suffer or settle for mediocrity, and nothing that brings him more joy than to witness them achieve their highest potential. He has incredible vision and sees the unignited potential in every individual. Matt is truly special because he has the rare ability to help others see, believe, and create the inherent potential within themselves. Matt has traveled the world and put himself in the fire to test his knowledge and his limits. He spent time in Nepal studying meditation with Buddhist monks and survived a near-death experience while trekking Everest. Traveled the world as a professional snowboard coach, trained mixed martial arts with pro fighters in Thailand. He has learned the secrets to becoming an effective and powerful leader, speaker, and trainer under the guidance of mentor Michael Lozier, the best-selling author of The Law of Attraction, and spent time in China training with 34th generation Shaolin monks, just to name some of his incredible experiences. This wealth of experience and training have led Matt to a high level of coaching proficiency in the fields of sports psychology, self-development and awareness, marketing, the Law of Attraction, and meditation. For more, visit www.mattbelair.com and www.zenathlete.com, both of which will be linked if you just scroll down, whether you're watching or listening to this, and you can click on it. All that said, again, Matt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, brother, thanks. That intro is long. It's so interesting because actually, it's so weird to make a bio for yourself. My best friend wrote that for me.
Nice.
So, as you're reading it, I'm just kind of thinking of him, and I was like, that's super, super nice. Super, it's weird to hear yourself, it's like, okay.
Dude, I totally relate because I could never write my own bio, and I had my editor write it for me. And whenever I do speaking engagements or conferences, whatever, people will read it. And at the end, when I'm about to present afterwards, I feel so weird because it's this whole like list of, all these achievements, and I'm sitting there thinking like, I'm just this guy who's still laughing like while I watch The Simpsons and, all the stupid shit. So whatever, man. It's cool, though, to definitely highlight what we've done in life. You've reading this done way more than I have, and I'm excited to explore some of this with you today. I feel like we could do like 10 podcasts and probably not even scratch the surface, but let's jump right into it. So obviously from your bio, there's so much ground that you cover. I know one of your great points of passion is meditation and sport. You had me on your show, which thank you for that. That was a lovely conversation. I'm excited to pick that up and continue it here. And I remember talking a little bit about that with you, when we connected initially. So, knowing that meditation and sport is part of your passion, I figured we could start there. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure, man. So for me, really, the bio and what I've done is essentially just being a lifelong martial artist, embodying that philosophy. And martial arts is development of mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
And so that's what you're learning right away. And so you're into meditation, and it's not just about being able to, beat up your opponent. It's about safety and discipline and respect and all that kind of stuff, right? And so I did martial arts as a kid, and then when I started skateboarding, I was able to apply this stuff, concentration, what I would tell myself, how it would get in the zone. So I'd be learning tricks. I was learning at a much faster rate.
Wait, same thing. Important question though. What kind of skateboard were you riding?
Like a trick board. Like a World Industries. My first one was a World Industries. Okay, Flame Boy versus Wet Willy was the because I know you're right.
I am, so we need to know these things. So that's a good first board. My first board was Nash, and I'm talking like that's generic, and then Veriflex, and then finally Powell Peralta. So you started with World Industries. Very nice. Sorry to cut you off.
I got the used ones first, you know what I mean? Like my parents wouldn't buy one because they're still like $200, right? So they didn't know if I was serious. So I had these like junky, you know, things until I was like committed, you know?
And then you got the World Industries.
And then, that was the greatest day of my life.
Sorry to cut you off, but you know, we need to know these things. So anyways.
So I'm learning tricks faster, but at this time, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm explaining it to my friends. Then I move out west, and I think to myself, once I graduate college, if I can make $4,000 a month, I can be anywhere in the world and survive and thrive. Wow. So I started looking at internet marketing, and I end up going down to Whistler and becoming a professional snowboard coach. And then again, bringing in these visualization, all the stuff that I learned through martial arts, because with extreme sports and skateboarding and things like that, it's so similar to martial arts because there's no team. You're the only one, and it's about your self-development. You're the one who's going to decide how good you get, and you've got these thresholds to pass, and it's just all a personal test, right? And so I think that we can use sport as a catalyst to develop our mind, body, and spirit. So meditation and sport, you know, if you meditate, you're going to be a better athlete. If you learn self-hypnosis, you're going to be a better athlete because you can install the belief systems. When you understand the psychology of excellence, of awareness, understanding more of your body through breath, you're going to be a better athlete. So the way that I kind of see it is this like, kind of judo hack into teaching a generation of kids all this self-development mastery, you know, because they're wanting to be a better athlete, right? So it's a bit of, you know, if LeBron James, I always use him as the example, but, you know, starts to say, hey, meditation is good. It makes me a better basketball player. How many kids are going to start meditating, right? So that's kind of the idea there and giving them, you know, those tools because, you know, some of the athletes I work with one athlete and he set 2 world records a month after we had one conversation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a big deal, right? What were the 2 world records, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so his name is Brody Carmichael. He's awesome. He's a really great guy. And he's kind of like rednecky, like a little bit, you know, like likes the outdoors. He's a freestyle motocross guy, right? So he calls me because I'm coaching another guy, Pat Bowden, and a professional freestyle motocross again, and I helped him and gave him my Zen Athlete stuff. So he had fallen on his first front flip attempt on a motorcycle, right? And there, you know, there's this level of necessity to land it because, you know, if you miss a basketball shot, both your legs aren't going to explode. Right. You know what I mean? Like you're totally fine for the most part. So he had fallen and we just do this session with him. And I was like, I checked, you know, I enhanced a couple perspectives, but nothing major. Then I said, look, man, if you want to do this trick, you don't have to read my book or get my program. All you actually have to do is just visualize this trick an hour a day, every single day until you know you can land it and you'll know. And so, and I was like, it's going to take you about 4 to 7 days. It can take you about a week and that's it. 7 hours. So he does it, you know, and next competition, 2 weeks later, he sticks the front flip. I think a week or two after that, I can't remember what exactly, he lands the world's first front flip heel clicker. Wow. And then 2 weeks after that, he didn't even practice. This is the thing. He didn't practice this one time. He wasn't even on his bike for those 2 weeks. And he was going around in schools talking about mindset because he's a little bit of a big deal where he is in Australia and, you know, inspiring kids. So without one practice run, lands the world's first front flip Superman. And the worst part is he takes it on a freaking potato phone. That's like a Nokia something from, and I was like, dude, you just did, this should be a Nitro Circus, you know, the internet. And like, nobody knows who he is. I was like, oh my God. It's like, this is, geez. But so you get this potato phone and he just does the world's front flip, Superman, but it's simple. The processes are simple, but, we don't do them because we don't have the necessity, right? So, and then you go the level up to Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, where he's basically trying to convince people if they go into a meditative state for an hour a day and visualize health, they will heal their bodies. Mm-hmm. And the people who have those necessities, like have cancer, internal illnesses, and things like that, there are many, many, many documented cases of people having miracles through doing the same thing. And so everything that I've read has said that same thing, is if you can clear your mind and go into the void or the empty space, whatever you put into that empty space and feel it and live it will come into this reality. It has to. It's a law of vibrational energy. But the thing is, because it's so a little bit odd, right? Like people don't – you can't – you know, it just seems a bit weird. So they have no necessity. And that's why with Pat in the bike, it's so easy to convince him, because he doesn't want to break both his legs. He could die. Brody, right? They could die when they do it. So they have a necessity. So instantly, within 5 minutes of getting off the phone, he emails me back. He's like, I've made it already. I've just done it. And, you know, most people, I'm like wasting my breath to try to convince them that this works. So now I, you know, work with athletes that are, you know, yes, I understand this works, right? I don't want to waste my time trying to convince you, you know?
Right.
It's like, just do it. It's kind of like if you want strong legs, you know, you go do squats. It's the most effective exercise, but nobody's ever seen a squat rack. They don't know what it is. And, you know, I could go in there and you could tell the science about what's happening in the body and the central nervous system. Or it's just like, just go do 5 sets of 5 squats every second day for a month and see what happens. Right.
Fucking squats though, man. Like, let's talk about squats real quick, because I've worked with them and I've researched, and maybe you can break this down for me, but like, my knees hurt, and I've read like, well, you're probably standing this way or that way wrong, you know, like, so let's take a really quick sidetrack here. And how should your stance be for squats, just for people? Because I know they're like an amazing exercise, but help me out, man.
Yeah. So this is what I recommend. So my workouts change, 'cause there's a guy, Pavel Tatsulin, and he's on the Tim Ferriss podcast. So I highly recommend listening to him, 'cause I wanted to snowboard and so I didn't want to like do squats and things and then not snowboard. So I started training, you know, what he says, and it's like these heavy lifts. So basically, those lifts, although they seem simple, are complicated and they take a while to master. So I recommend going on YouTube and watching 5 or 6 squat videos, because there's a lot of things to it. But basically, your legs are a bit wider to the shoulder, like a slight duck. But then you've got all these other complicated mechanics, right? That's not the only thing. That's like step one.
Right,
and it's simple, but it's actually a complex movement.
Well, that's the thing is, and I've done that. Like I've watched, man, at least 20 videos, and a lot of them contradict the other. Like, here's how you do the right squat. And then I'll watch the next one. Here's how you do the right squat. And it's, you know, contradicting the other one. And so I've tried all these different means and methods. And it's to the point where it's like, man, I'm just getting old. I'm 38. Maybe I just have shit knees. And it's like, I run a lot too. And I know I've put a lot of like wear and tear in my body. So
I think running is worse. That's what I've heard, because it's consistent impact.
Yeah.
Running is one of the harder ones on the knees. The same with skating, right? Skating is not ideal.
Well, that's why I tell people, like, I still skateboard all the time, but I don't do tricks anymore. It's kick, push, coast. Bottom line, just like the Lupe Fiasco song, like I can't get up from those falls like I used to, man. The bruises take a long time to heal. The sprained ankles, forget about it, man. Who's got time for that anymore?
Yeah, so, yeah, you're paying the dues. Yeah, it's just like I'm out for like a month. What happened? Yeah, skateboard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, I do appreciate what you're saying though. Like earlier, about you didn't say it this way, but kind of it sounded like integral cross training to me, you know. And what I was hearing was like, for me, I found that when I was getting into longer runs and bringing mindfulness into them, that helped me when I would sit down on the meditation cushion. And during those times where you'd be 20 or 30 minutes into a sit, and part of me would want to get up, but the other part of me was like, no, you can do this. You know, it reminded me of like when you're at that 6 mile mark and you're running a 9 mile, you know, run. You're there and you know you can do it, and then you do it. And since you've done it, you know you can sit for that much longer. Or when I'm out on a run, you know, and I'm at that 6 mile mark and it's like, oh, I know I've been in meditation and I've wanted to stand up and walk away, but I sat and stayed with it another 30 minutes. I know I can do it. I've experienced it. I know it's there. And then I could finish those, you know, 2 or 3 miles. It's a very interesting dichotomy to me, that kind of integral cross training. So again, that's not necessarily what you're saying, but that's what came up for me while you were speaking. And I'm using that as kind of a segue into this Zen Athlete program, which is something I know you're very passionate about and have been working on, and you've already talked a little bit about it. But if you don't mind talking a little more about Zen Athlete and your inspiration behind that, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and that feedback's great, right? It's there's they'll say like there's so many different ways to learn a lesson, right? So how you're going to, you know, take that information and find your own example and analogy is perfect. Then you're like, oh, cool, I've got like the message. You know what I mean? There could be 20 different analogies that are the same message. So, you know, I totally resonate with what you said. And so for me, Zen Athlete is, you know, the goal is to popularize the mental game of sport so that you go play football, hockey, snowboarding, skateboarding, you automatically train the mind, just like you go to the gym. If you do any of those sports, it is normal and 100% expected that you will go to the gym and you will train your body. But we know for sure that the mind is the thing that makes you the great athlete, the great person, the great human being. It's the mind that sets all of those bars. So why are we not training it? Why are we not learning how to meditate, what our beliefs are, things like that? So that's like the big you know, mission. And with Zen Athlete, you know, I've spent my life basically testing different. I just was so interested in mind power, mindset. So anything mindset or mind power since I've been a kid. So, you know, I'm reading about meditation, lucid dreaming, astral projection, self-hypnosis when I'm in my teens. And, you know, some of it's going in, some of it's not going in.
Right.
I'm trying different healing modalities. Like I'm certified Reiki, but then also in China, they do a different form of energy healing. You know what I mean? And like, I don't care what it is. If it's out there and it has to do with mindset, I try it and I get into it and I see what it's like. So I can have the most wild conversations about, you know, dimensions, astral travel, aliens, wild experiences. But in Zen Athlete, it is so simple, distilled techniques. It's the squats, you know. If you want strong legs, these are the five exercises. This is how you do them. Just apply them. So it's distilling that. And then furthermore, I want it to be so easy for any athlete to come in and use this stuff. I have like guided meditations and then I teach you how to make your own. So it's just like binaural beats, right? So I have binaural beats that install – You know, getting in the zone and then you're an amazing athlete and then we're installing the belief systems we want. And then I show you how I do that. So you could change it to any sport you wanted. Then you've got guided visualizations for parks and whatever you're trying to learn or if it's a specific trick or whatever it is and it relaxes you and you experience it. And then I show you how to create your own. And you have a guided relaxation. This is what you need to put in. Then you start creating your own. And the interesting thing, what's happening actually, and I didn't expect this, I'm actually working a lot more with successful business people. Because you take that same level of necessity to land a trick that's never been done on the planet and you apply that to your business with like, you know, because there's you got risk, but it's not like in your face instant risk.
Right.
So if you can take that level of mindset mastery into business, you know, you can really level up your game. And it's a way to think about things that, you know, it's not typical business training, but it applies so much. And so that's what I learned in Phoenix. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I kept getting more, you know, business people like, does this work for this? I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is almost like business mastery because again, you're taking the skill set of what somebody has learned to do something that's never been done and literally risking their life. Right?
Right.
If not, at least, you know, when they fall in freestyle motocross, it's bad, you know, breaking back spines. Some of them don't walk away. So you're taking that level of necessity, right? What you learn from putting yourself into that situation, and you can take those principles and apply it anywhere. So it's like learning from someone's like, oh, you went right to the edge, but I don't need to go to the edge. I can actually take what you learned and I can apply it here. And if I do, I'm now way above, you know, my own. Like, again, you could use business as a catalyst to develop your mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
Right. And it's just a catalyst because, you know, when that guy lands the trick, he's not like full, happy, and harmonious in that sense. He's stoked, but you got to be whole, happy, harmonious, and full of self-love the whole entire journey. That's the whole point. That's, you know, that's what I want to give athletes. And again, like the professional athletes that are out there, people just think that they're happy. That's the other people that I want to work with is just creating their self-worth beyond sport, getting them super stoked on life, fulfillment and meaning, because a lot of it comes just from sport.
Amazing. And I know, you know, from our previous conversations, you talk, and I think you covered a bit there, but about the mental aspect, you know, like of sport. And, you know, so would, how could you elaborate on that a little bit more, the mental aspect? Like, I know you were just starting to talk about it, but really, like, and not, I mean, we'll say sport here, but it's not just sport, it's life. So we'll use sport as the example, but, you know, the right. mental aspect.
Yeah, totally. And it's such a deep subject, man. It's so, so right. deep. It's self-mastery. So it's basically, you know, understanding your mind, body, spirit, but looking at how well you can concentrate, what your internal dialogue is. It's like looking at your operating system like mm-hmm. a computer and choosing how you want to run your mind, your software. And so you kind of, first of all, look at how, okay, this is how it works. These are the things I have: RAM, I have this, I have that. I got programs. This is Final Cut. This is blah, blah, blah. And then once you figure out what systems you have, you choose and code each system. So visualization is a practice. Understanding your internal dialogue is a practice. And the nice thing is you can learn this. You can go from like zero to like mastery in a few months. Because it's not complicated stuff. It's just, it's really isolating. So the mental game is what kind of states can you bring in within yourself? How do you feel? How do you, think, what are your practices? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah. And it's so deep, but it's really like, it's getting to that point of like really connecting with yourself and being able to like change perception and awareness, what is going to benefit you most? What state do you need to accomplish this, right? So, and also belief is a huge thing too, right? So for him to do that trick, he needs 100% belief
right.
that he's going to land that trick. So just like business, if you don't have 100% belief, if you got 0% belief, you're going to be successful, or you can get over this breakup, or you can, you know, survive, you know, I don't know if you talk about it, but I know personally you had like challenges, and sure. if you go through, you know, those challenges and say, woe is me right now, my life is over and I can't get through no matter how hard it is, then you're right. You're screwed. Yeah. So one of the kids, when I break it down to what I'd love to see in schools and youth organizations, is three fundamentals. You're taking a basketball shot. Number one, how to clear your mind, you know, show them just some breathing and centering. Number two, visualize what you want. Visualize the basketball shot going in. Three, no matter what happens, choose the most powerful and positive perspective in any situation. You miss the basketball shot, you got number two, cool, I want to make this one. You miss that one again, then you get laughed at, your girlfriend breaks up with you, people call you stupid. What is the most powerful and positive perspective you can take from that situation? And if you can live your life like that, those are three fundamental shifts in consciousness. Mm. You empower a kid with that, you know, for his life. Now challenge is just opportunity, right? And you go from victim to creator real friggin' fast. And most people don't know how to clear their minds either.
And I love everything you're saying, and I do work with youth as well, and not just youth, from, you know, from college down to elementary school. And there is more on the college level, but a bit of skepticism or even cynicism, you know, towards any of the stuff that we're talking about. And that obviously makes it difficult for a person like you or I who are trying to present these ideas to them. So just out of my own personal curiosity, you know, when you walk into this environment and you're working with these younger people, youth specific, great. When some of them just hear it and adapt it and work with it, that's beautiful. But I'm sure you've probably experienced those who might hear it and are like, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of woo-woo or whatever. How do you approach that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's interesting. I like to say that Zen Athlete is like 20 years ahead of its time and like 50 years, thousands of years behind the time. You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
When they did samurai fighting, you know, there's whole books on mindset first, right? You're literally going to die. Yeah. So what kind of mindset would you need? If you freak out and get afraid, you're going to die. Yeah. You know, you have to be really confident and really connected to your body and, you know, really in flow. So, you know, I aim to, you know, attract the people that are open, first of all, right? Because yeah, I don't want to waste my breath anymore. And I used to. But now, like when someone's in there, just, you know, the way that I draw the line is like, okay. And I just take them through a process where they can feel it. Mm-hmm. And one of them is just, you know, okay, like here, let's do an experiment. Let's all close our eyes, take in three deep breaths, visualize a lemon in our mind, and then bite that lemon and feel the juices, and they'll have their mouth salivate. right? And so it's just bringing in the information through examples that they can actually directly experience. Or sometimes, you know, quoting a great athlete that talks about mindset also helps, depending on what age group you're talking to, bringing in that reasoning, right? You know, you want to balance with logic and a study and something like that. So, you know, there's a study on basketball players where they do visualization and, you know, they improve 24% without even touching a basketball. And then the group that shot, you know, improved, well, they 23, the group that shot was 24%. And then the group that didn't practice was zero. So just through visualization. So you can bring those things up. But it's giving them a direct experience, you know, or an analogy that they can really relate to. And that's like finding, you know, your audience. So that's what I really like is the lemon, you know?
Yeah, that's cool, man. Right? Giving them something that they can relate to or meeting them where they're at. That's also the approach I take. Yeah. Meeting someone, and not just youth, but adults, wherever, like meeting people where they're at. I was talking to a friend yesterday, the day before, about the way I will approach certain events I'm doing. And I will always have like a general outline. But beyond that, like, I don't memorize what I'm going to say. I don't, you know, blueprint it out, because that doesn't do justice to anyone who's taking the time to be there. You know, it's like, let's survey the room, or I will survey the room when I'm in it. I'll take a look at who's there. I will listen as, you know, I kind of introduce what's going on, and you know, the conversation is a huge part of it. And from there, I just kind of assess, all right, then what do we need to talk about here? So like you were saying, meeting people where they're at, young or old, doesn't matter. But I find that that's just a really wonderful way to, of course, not just connect, but really make significant change or help people make significant change in their lives. Is that something you can relate to?
Yeah, 100%. And that's where your own level and work come into play, because you're going to, with a level of mastery, you're going to be able to give an example that relates to them.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got minimal knowledge, it's a little bit harder.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, you know, how, you know, and asking them questions, you know,
yeah.
You know, you ever experienced this before? You know, are you aware of, like, what are you aware of? Like, if you have, you've never heard of martial arts, like, do you know who Bruce Lee is? You don't? Yeah. Okay, shoot. Well, we're not using that one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know who Jack Nicklaus is? You know what I mean? He's like, before every shot, I go to the movies. Yeah. Right. And what is he talking about? He's talking about visualizing. You know, for the snowboarders out there, there's a guy, he landed the world's first quad cork, Max Perot. And in the little video from Monster Energy, not to plug them, but had like some, you know, give a friggin' Monster. I was like, and I want, like, I, you know, in that whole industry, because I'm in it and the extreme sports, I want like some good sponsors. Like my show is sponsored by like Organifi, which I'm super stoked on, but like, nice. Or even just water. Like something good, right? Like,
right.
And I thought about that as like, if Red Bull wanted to give me like 50 or 100 grand, I was like, would I take it? I was like, I hope not, because I know it's not good, but like, I definitely want 100 grand, you know, that would be great. So
there are bills to be paid, right? It's a very tricky thing, I know.
But then, you know, but it, you know, and this, I kind of digress here, but like, you know, I'm coaching and you got a 10-year-old drinking a massive effing can of Monster's, huge. Yeah. And it's poison and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God, like, you don't even need a little one. And why are they giving, you know, it upsets me deeply.
Sure. I understand. I appreciate your passion.
Yeah. It just so bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to give, like, you don't, and that's the whole crazy thing. When you get conscious around food and everything else, you're like, holy crap, everything's trying to kill me and my kids. And if you want to make a conscious choice, you have to really seek that out and go pay twice the amount.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you got Red Bull, then you got Monster, then you got Full Throttle, then you got this, and then over here, you know, it's like maybe just water and then like an apple, and you're like, you're not going to give me, like, you know, they've got some juice mixes now, but
yeah,
right. So anyway, so yeah, so this video that's put on by whoever, we'll just say drink water or something. He lands the world's first trick, never been done before. It's the exact same thing as Brody Carmichael. He goes, I visualized it so many times in my mind. That I'm just so happy to do it first try. And it's four flips. And on the last flip, he is so set and confident. He lays out the last flip. He's like, tuck, tuck, you know, one, two, three, spinning, flipping, spinning, flipping. And then on the last one, he's just so aware, never done it before, never, no one has ever done it, yeah. And just lays it out perfectly and just stomps it. Like the most beautiful thing, you know?
Wow.
And so, when you can show that those examples, right, of excellence and you know, and really engage, you know, where are you at, you know, and ideally be in environments, you know, where they want to hear it, which is way nicer.
Yeah. Oh, it's always nicer and easier, but hence I ask, because sometimes you're not in that environment, you know, and it's like you're just there. And for me, it's like, all right, all I can do right now is offer my honest self and hope that it connects with one or two people. If more, awesome. But, you know, just lay it out raw and real and honest and hope. And that said, you never know what seeds are planted for some people, you know, that potentially maybe it meant nothing to them in that moment, but a week, a month, a year later, something will spring into their mind. Oh, I remember hearing this. And then it, you know, inspires them to go to the library and pull out a book on this, or go check out a meditation center or Zen athlete or whatever the case may be. You know, you never know. So,
and that's, you know, as you were saying that, that's actually what I was going to chime in and say.
Yeah.
You know, some of the people who are, you know, a lot of, I think there's a lot going on the planet right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are really waking up. They're, you know, you're getting the midlife crisis at whatever age you're at, right? Because, yeah. Like, oh God, this is broken. I'm like, yes, it is broken.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what are you doing to fix yourself? And so then when you face that question, like, oh darn. But, you know, with the people in transition, a lot of times I'll tell them, I was like, look, man, I was like, just be nice to the person that you got coffee to, or that simple awareness is your job.
Yeah.
You think that, you know, in your mind that you got to be, you know, doing, save the world or whatever, or you want to like be contributing. But why is it not enough to just be your honest self and in situations and show love and compassion when it's necessary? Right. So
right.
I got an athlete going on and, you know, I got my podcast and I got, you know, I got Chris Grosso coming on. I'm super stoked, and I get my coffee and I'm running back. You know what I mean? And you know, some old lady needs help, and I like push her to the side. Shout, old lady, Chris Grosso waiting, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then I'm like, hey, you know what, man, I'm 5 minutes late. There's this little old lady. I had to help her with her groceries because that's what I was called to do in that moment.
Right.
Or there's a kid and there's a circumstance and you can just show love and compassion. And that's our goal. That's it. You know what I mean? That's awakening. That's enlightenment. That's everything. And when we continually make those small choices daily, then, you know what I mean? You get upgraded.
Yes.
And you'll get upgraded in consciousness. You'll get upgraded in all these different ways. And especially like how you feel, and you're like, oh, it's simple because you have to do it every day. If I'm good 100 days and I'm following my intuition and being cool, but then on, you know, day 101, I'm a mother effer, then like, I really messed up that day, but I can learn from it. So, you know, when you're talking to the kids, you know what I mean? Like that one, what if you just change one life and like, that's your whole purpose, was just like to have one super meaningful impact through direct awareness on one human being, like, and you watch that person's whole entire life, you know, unfold as you just planted a seed and they create a family and raise kids at a certain way. And you just did one thing that I think that happens all the time. And that's enough, man. We are enough. You know, we want to, because we understand the power of it. We want to just like, you know, got 500 kids, boom, they're all awake, reading Ram Dass, being nice to each other, being loving, just, you know, just in it, right? And that's what we want so deeply, because we want them to have a place of peace where they are. And then as people who are trying to serve in that same sense of just doing your best, just showing up and being honest is the best therapy, the way to speak, you know what I mean? And it's beautiful.
I love what you just said, we are enough. You know, something that it's such a beautiful sentiment, something that for me is so hard to really accept at times, you know, even after many, many, many years of practice, you know, like I know in my gut that that's the truth, but then the mind kicks in and, you know, the mind wants to do what it's going to do and tell you, no, you are far from enough. You know, you have failed in this way and you haven't fulfilled that and blah, blah, blah. But that's huge, because I, in my gut, like I said, I know it's true. I am enough. You know, we are enough already. A little unscripted, but can you speak a little more to that? Like that we are enough.
Yeah, that's it, man. And that's what it all comes back to. That if for like everyone on the planet, you know, even like I said, those athletes, you think an athlete that's, you know, the best in the world at something like an NFL player, Super Bowl ring, you know, the goal was an athlete, you know, beyond making you a better athlete is to make you whole, happy, harmonious, and full of self-love, no matter the outcome, no matter if you didn't land the trick, no matter if you didn't get the NBA championship, no matter if you failed at business, you're enough always. And I struggle with that too. And it's normal, you know, self-worth is like, even now I struggle, you know, I'm like,
sure, yeah.
like, geez, like, come on. And so how do you resonate, you know, that feeling? And I think that, you know, you do it daily, and you do it through learning and really deprogramming, because all the stuff that's telling you you're not enough is in the mind. Mm-hmm. And that has been planted there on purpose, I feel, anyway. You look outside and you got the, you know, the women's magazines, and that's how you're supposed to look. And then you got the men's magazines, and then we're idolizing actors, and then we're idolizing these. And then culturally, within your culture, we've got this hierarchical system that we're in. So this is happening. So that's where going in. To find out you're enough, keep going in. Mm-hmm. And the more you go in and connect and have that humility, you're going to kind of – because it's a weird thing, man. It's a vibrational thing. You can't think yourself into self-worth. Mm. Right. And so it's doing the practices and honoring yourself. Right. If you're an artist and you're working in the oil fields, you know what I mean? You will not find that level of self-worth there, because you're dishonoring yourself, and you know that. So looking at right. It's really that, like, self-reflection. When you know when you're on the path and you're doing the work, you know, like, it, actually yesterday, like, I felt like, you know, like that came in. I was like, man, I was like, I just worked for 7 hours straight and I didn't do a damn thing. And I was like, ugh. And I just felt like an a-hole. And then I look and, like, you know, I two podcasts came out with, you know, really great people. I had, you know, five people on Instagram say thank you for the podcast. This, and it's just starting to go, you know what I mean? And then another piece of content comes out from another podcast that I was on. So then I just saw this bunch of content come out that I had created, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing what I can. I'm trying my best, and that's all you can do. And then I kind of got the vibrational, you know, you're good, man. You know, like, you're nice. Trying your damn best. I know it, right? So you have that thing. But if you're so off track, you're not going to feel that, right? So it's getting on track, looking within, being of service, and it will become a natural byproduct. Because it's, again, this stuff isn't, the thing is that that's a mind. That's been my thing that I've loved to study. And same with business people, man. Like, I know people who make $300,000 a month that aren't happy, you know, most of the time. It's like, damn, man. But so money isn't it either. Right. So it's not money. So what is it? And you know what it is? It's finding yourself. It's going through all your baggage, all your hurt. Cause, you know, like, let's just go this way with it. We're in literal transformation now with what I'm, like, looking at, like, Zen Athlete is, like, so, like beginner of what I'm, like, looking at and researching and putting my head around and, like, okay, what's important? How do I share this? Holy crap. And so it's like this ascension game. We're in an ascension, and it's an individual personal ascension, and shit's going on the planet all over the place. But how you ascend into this, like, being is a, so there's a cat. Hey. They got the cutest cat.
It's a cat friendly show. No worries.
Yeah, totally. As I've used some random things, he's the best cat too. Okay. Yeah. So you have to clean up your junk. Nobody's getting out. You have to go through your darkness. And then, so once you kind of do that and you heal yourself, then it's like, how do you want to serve? You know, until you're thinking about how you can serve the planet and take care of yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself, heal yourself. Right. And then just, you know, be like, how can I serve? And that's the beautiful thing, because, like, you know, I use the analogy of, like, a forest. You look at all the beings in the forest just doing their things. They're naturally in harmony with the forest. It just works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The forest is in perfect flow. But if you have, like, a crow trying to be a moose and a moose trying to be a beaver, then that natural system is going to be all messed up.
Right.
And the beaver is going to hate his life. You know what I mean? Because he's like, you know, I just want to chew wood. So when you figure out that thing by looking in, and it's like, what do I enjoy to do? How do I follow my bliss? How do I follow my passion? How do I create? What do I need to let go in order to do what I love most? And that's, again, you know, this is like Zen Enlightenment 101. Let go. Right? Well, you want to hold on to your Ferrari and also reach enlightenment at the same time. Well, maybe you got to let that go. Or what balance are you playing with? So literally going through that. And then when you figure out who you are, and then you're like, holy shit, I'm a beaver. And then you start just doing beaver things. And then naturally you're just in harmony with the forest, which is the world, which is the planet. And that's what we all have to do, you know? And that's, you know, I think we're in a very, very serious time on the planet. And it's a very personal transformation. You know, it's stop looking outside you for everything, for your government to fix you, for a God to save you. You're the one to do it.
Couldn't agree more. I just recently got a tattoo that said, no saviors will save us, with an anatomical heart. It's like, it's not that I'm, you know, against the idea of a God or whatever, but it's like, we will save us. You know, we have to take the power back. We have to do it. We have to step up. And so you're talking about cleaning up these areas of your life and doing that work. And I know part of that based on when I was on your show involved ayahuasca. So we're kind of almost in a way, but not totally, like switching gears here. But I would love to hear a little bit about that, if you don't mind. You know, ayahuasca and the impact that's had in your life and cleaning up and healing and growing. And as I say that, I know you're choking a lung over there, and I apologize.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I know, I just got like a cough out of nowhere. Yeah, so ayahuasca was a great assistant. Definitely 100% plant medicine. You know, it's medicine for your consciousness.
Right. And I'm glad you say that, because it's a distinction. A lot of people hear the word ayahuasca or psilocybin or whatever and think drugs. But no, I appreciate plant medicine. That's how I would say it. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. And it's very important, because the thing is, they're coming from a place of ignorance and fear.
Sure.
It's not for everyone.
Right.
You know, that's fine too, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's just fair. And that's, for me, is experience. Right. And that's why, like, I would be comfortable in like I don't have a sports psychology degree, but I would be so comfortable in the New York Yankees locker room with any sports psychologist on the planet, mm-hmm. because I have done experiences and I've been in it and I understand it. You know what I mean? I've earned it. Yeah. And so with ayahuasca is an experience. And so for people who don't know, it's becoming a little bit more popular. Dimethyltryptamine is the active ingredient. All plants, all animals, all humans produce it. And I wanted to do ayahuasca because I had been to that place, because it's hard to describe. It's like, you know, it's very real, but there's no words for it. But I had been there through meditation. And so when people describe it, it's like, I've actually been there through meditation. And so now I can do a breath pattern and pretty much activate DMT and have a psychedelic experience. And it's the same thing. So ayahuasca really was a great gift. You know, it's humbling. It's very humbling. It's challenging. It's not fun. You know, I don't get excited to do ayahuasca, because it's like, it's going to visit your mother. And like, for people, you know, listening, I'll say it's like this. I put it a couple ways. It's like a duck. You give it ayahuasca, and now it has human consciousness. And it's like, what's this? And like, this is a flat screen TV. Like, what's this? This is a cell phone. What does it do? And when he's in it, and the ayahuasca is on, he's learning this stuff, but then he comes down and he's just learned cell phone and energy and whatever it is, these cars and whatever we're going to teach him, ideally some good stuff.
Yeah.
then another duck asks him, yo, like, what happened? And he just quacks, because that's what I'm essentially doing. We're quacking, but it's more real than here. So that gap from a duck to a human, from a human to whatever ayahuasca is very real. It's a level that you're like, holy crap. And the thing is, it's not addictive. It's just to show you, it's a realignment, you know?
Right.
And then it's grounding and integrating that information. Holy, I just showed you food from a five-dimensional perspective. I stopped, you know, I was eating only meat pretty much. I was like, it's the biggest carnivore ever.
Yeah.
And went to like 90% vegetarian diet within one thing, because it showed me food in 5D, and I don't even know what I saw, but it changed my core DNA being. Mm. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, okay, got that one, right? And then I had to choose to integrate it, right? And so I had to then start walking it. Because you see it so clear as day, right? And then over time, you can actually have really interesting experiences. And I know friends of mine, and myself included, have some of the wildest stories about beings now, like, you know, ascended beings, like energies, experiences in meditation that are deepening, you know, that are so vivid and visceral. And it's like, so a wild example is in Dr. Joe's work, he has a pineal gland activation meditation, which is just like taking an ayahuasca drink, but it's different. Okay. Same, but different. And so he's like, you know, he's in there and he's trying to convince people, like, you know, if you do this weird breathing pattern, like, you could activate DMT, and holy smokes, if you do, you know, you're going for a ride. And So he before he does this, he goes, I kid you not, I've seen beings the size of this room come down and heal people.
Wow.
And he's like, and the way that I understand it is resonances. So look at Tesla, everywhere, it's all vibration,
right?
And of the light spectrum, I think we see by 0.002, like 0.03, something stupid, small, whatever it is. It's not much. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if we want to resonate at 90 and these beings are at 90, they can't come into like density. They can't come down. We have to get up there. To their level for it to interact. And so what's holding us down? Well, we don't know. Well, if you're in like anger and hate, and that's the if you go into the wrong part of town and people are super drunk and you feel that and they want to do something bad, you feel low, right? You're literally grounded in density. You go around love and kindness and family. You feel light. Right. So where does this scale go? Do you know what I mean? Mm. So that's like the experiences that we can actually access. And I can't remember how I got into that. It's like super ramp. You know, what's possible through? Oh yeah, ayahuasca, right? So and once you do ayahuasca, you could tell me that you saw Bigfoot riding a unicorn over a rainbow to a pot of gold, and I wouldn't even question it, mm-hmm. and I would just say where did that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, what did they look like? Describe them to me. You know, did you hang out with them? Did they have a message for you? It just takes your brain and shatters it. And you're like, and then I remember too, one of the experiences I had in ayahuasca is like, enlightenment's like the middle, right? So I'm reading a Zen book and then I read an enlightened book. Then I read Krishnamurti. Then I find Alan Watts and then I find this and it just showed me like a maze like this. And it just picked me up by my, and it was like whoop. And like enlightenment was the middle, right? And I was like trying to get a cheese and each book was like this thing, but it was like, it was just so clear. It was like, oh, that's what enlightenment is. Right. Oh, I could have just taken this drink and not even think about this. But then you come down and it's like the duck thing. And you just want to remember one thing. You just want to – anything that's A plus B, just in the, like just give me the word phone.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? And you don't even know phones exist. Just right. Give me the word phone to come back with. You're like, please. And so so it's extremely powerful stuff and whatever, and it's medicine. So if you've done a lot of, you got a lot of darkness in there, it's going to be challenging for you. There's a guy, and overall ayahuasca is like the three main things are people want to be more loving and kind to themselves. They go through like some sort of healing. They want to be more loving and kind to others, and they want to be of service to humanity and treat themselves better. That's like the common theme Beautiful. Of every sit I've been through after. You're so humbled. So mostly someone's always laughing, someone's crying. Someone's puking. But this guy goes, you know, it's ruthless, terrible, awful, right? And he goes into how terrible it was. He comes back the next day, same thing, ruthless, terrible, awful. Third day comes back and he's like, I kind of got through, you know, I got through and, you know, I feel better. We find out after he's an ex-Hells Angels muscle. Whoa. So he did a lot of bad stuff. He did a lot of really bad stuff. And so but he worked through it. You got to own your shit.
Yeah.
Right. Even like if something bad has happened to you, and this might be tough for people to swallow, something bad happened to you, you're not ascending yourself and you're not doing yourself any favors by holding on to that pain.
Yeah.
Because that's density. And that's why it's a challenge. It sucks. I know it really sucks. But, I work with people sometimes they're 50 in business and their whole life motivation is like something that happened to 5 or 10. And it could have been serious. But now it's 40 years later and that person still has that same effect on you. Mm-hmm. Because we have to learn how to go through that. Yeah. And then we have to, you know, and that's like going through your darkness. It's like, okay, and how do we get to a level of forgiveness? But when you can, you just unload an energetic dumbbell of weight that's controlling how you live. And now this is your challenge.
Yeah. Heavy stuff and beautiful. And I appreciate how you said, again, reiterating, it's not for everyone, but if you feel called to it, you feel called to it. I had a conversation with Gabor Mate, you know, an addiction expert earlier last year. And he said very much the same thing you were saying, you know, it's not for everyone, but if you're called to it, it's worth exploring. So anyways,
and one side note too, if that's something that you want, this is where your honest like integrity comes in. You know what I mean? Call out and just go with feeling, because you know it can be like popular now in Peru. Like, don't look at like, you know, just give it some time.
Yeah.
Do some research. Find somebody who knows a ceremony that can vouch. You know, because you want a good shaman. You know, some people have asked me, and this is how intense it is. I know, like, you know, I'm a shaman. I have like a past life, and I do shaman stuff at Burning Man. But I am not an ayahuasca shaman. Mm-hmm. I would need to do tons of different things. You know, I do I do different practices and I help people in certain ways.
Yeah.
But like an ayahuasca ceremony is so serious. Like, oh man, I thought you could do ceremony. I was like, I cannot do that. You need a proper guy.
Yeah.
Who, right? Happy. So that's what you can do. Find somebody who knows. So, you know, treating it with the utmost respect, yeah. You know, that's how you stay safe. And, you know, so I recommend that and just, you know, add that in there.
Appreciate that. Well, Matt, this has been a wonderful conversation. We're just about out of time, but the websites again, it's mattbelair.com and zenathlete.com, correct?
Yeah, mattbelair.com, zenathlete.com. Lots of stuff on there, like lots of good stuff. And I'm making new meditations daily. I have one super powerful one, the heart journey, that you can get on there. And it's literally a process that hypnotizes people into finding their life purpose. And when I do one-on-one sessions, I've had 15 people cry, wow. One pop out of their body, and one piss himself from a healing. And this is something – yeah, and this is something I didn't sit down and create. I just – my friend had an issue, and I was like – and I usually don't even do that. Like, I guide them sometimes, but I was like, here, let's try this. And the second I did, I was like, whoa, like, this is really powerful. I haven't seen anything like this. So that's something, like, a lot of people are in transition, and I give them that as a form of medicine because our minds are in survival, right? So our conscious – base programming is to survive. Yeah. For us to survive, we need to eat. To get the food, we need the money. So if we want to think about our infinite potential, but we can't draw the gap on how we're going to make money, our mind's going to do a thing and shut it down. So this is a hypnotic process that lets the heart take over and show you, and you're like, whoa, okay, cool. This is what I'm most passionate about. And it can draw some lines for you. So then you can have the courage to go forward with that, right? Because that's what we got to do. What would you do if you had $1 trillion every day for the rest of your life? How would you live your life? And so a lot of times people can actually do what they want most with way less than they think, but it comes with the process of letting go. And then they see that, I'm like, oh man, if I would, I'm letting that go tomorrow, you know?
I love it. It's like the Zen saying, let go or be dragged. And that's one that I've held very dear to my heart.
Yeah, totally. But you know, sometimes you need to be dragged for a bit, you know that what I mean? Too. Just be aware you're dragged. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm going to hold on to this bumper for a bit.
Yeah.
What I'm doing, but right. I don't care. I'm dragged for a bit.
Right. Yeah,
let go in a bit. Pissed off. Right? So, but then, so.
Anyways, well, Matt, thank you, man. It's been a real pleasure. I'm going to have you back on because there's probably 10 more things I wanted to talk to you about. But, you know, unfortunately, time is of the essence. But deep bows of respect to you for the work you're doing, what you're bringing into the world. It is much needed today, now more than ever. And I'm just very deeply grateful for you for taking this time to have this conversation with me. Thank you, man.
You too, brother. Love and respect. Appreciate it. Love you, man.
Thanks.